Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Wife, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hi, everybody. I hear we have a
Good.
Very special guest today, right, Johnny?
That's right. Nicole Whitehead, Miss May 2004 for the Miss December Diary series.
Wow. Hi, Nicole.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too early, okay? Because some people might not know what you have become, so don't say it yet, okay? If they
okay.
haven't, I mean, this is like, when I saw this, I was just so impressed, and I believe you've been doing this for years, and we're going to get into all of that. It might have something to do with the beginning of your Playboy story. I don't know. We're going to find out, but we welcome you to the show. Thank you, and tell the audience where you are calling in from. Where do you live right now? Johnny?
Yeah, are you there?
Nicole?
She's here.
I can't hear you.
Yes. Yeah.
Do we lose her?
Nicole, are you there?
Hey, I can hear you guys. Can y'all hear me?
Okay, I can now. You were so clear right before we started. You were so clear. And then my first question, then I couldn't hear you. But did you hear? Let's just give it to you again, though.
Okay.
Hey, Johnny. Maybe we didn't even ask her. Okay, we didn't ask you, really. We just wanted to know, where are you calling from? Like, where do you live?
Right.
Oh, well, okay. Can I give y'all a hint? See if you guys can guess.
Well,
we have the best.
Say a couple more things. A couple more things because of your accent.
Okay. Okay. We have the best football team in the SEC. I'll put it that way. Roll Tide.
Alabama.
I'm from Alabama. Yes. I'm a Bama girl and proud of it.
Okay. Yeah, I know that there's I know that Alabama is really big on football, I've heard.
Oh yeah, we're big on football.
Where are you? Where are you right now?
I am at my house. Yeah, I am in Alabama at my house, in my kitchen,
hey guys,
sipping
lost
on
you.
Some red.
Hey, Nicole, I have my phone on automatically. It goes on Do Not Disturb every night at 5 o'clock for the show, right?
Oh.
I don't know why. I have no idea why that school message came through and made it through my line. I mean, normally that never happens, right, Johnny? So thank you for finding out where Nicole lives. And I think she was saying Alabama. Right?
Yes. I am from Alabama.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Did you grow up there?
I did. I grew up here. And when I graduated high school, I moved to Orlando, Florida to chase
the
dream.
Okay, hold on. Okay. That's what we're going to get to right now. I just wanted to let everybody know because you have the sweetest voice with the southern drawl, which I don't come across very often, so I love that. And you're in where you grew up, and you probably love it, but here's our first question, okay, for the Miss December Diaries for the Playboy Playmate of the Day, which is Nicole Whitehead, Miss May 2004. How did you become a Playboy Playmate?
Well, I got scouted by somebody when I was in college. And I honestly thought it was a joke. I had never even looked at a Playboy ever. So I was
How old
completely
were you?
Shocked.
Like 19?
19. I was not.
And was this a photographer that found you in college? How did this happen?
It was actually somebody else that worked for Playboy. They just said that I should send in some pictures, which sounded really, I mean, I was like, are you serious? But I thought it over. I talked to family members to see what they thought, and everybody was like, yeah, you should do it. I mean, you're a small town girl. This might be a chance for you to travel. And so, yeah, I did it.
How old were you? How old were you, 19. Though? Were you 18, 19? That
I was
is
19.
Really young.
Yep.
And how did this scout, this photographer, this Playboy photographer, how did he run across you? Like, where was he to see you?
He was on my campus. I can't even think of what his name was. It's been so long ago. But, yeah,
and
he was on
my
campus.
David Meese did the College Girl tour. Mm-hmm. I worked with him a lot with the catalogs, Shirley of Hollywood and Fredericks of Hollywood. And he was the Playboy photographer who went across the United States and would find these beautiful girls at the college campuses. It probably, it could have very well been him. And
it probably was.
They go across the United States, and then they have this, like, they put it in the newspaper, they advertise it, they all show up, and, you know, sometimes you just get, like, put in the back or something, which I would never have signed anything to say they could do that. So what was it like when you went into the test shoot? Where was it, and what did you do?
Well, I started out in the lingerie books. I was in... I don't know how many of those.
Cool.
And then they put me on the cover of the Natural Beauties. And I can't, honestly, I don't even remember what year that was. But everything just kind of led to me testing for Playmate. And, I mean, the rest is history. It all happened kind of fast, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I was just about to start flight school. Yeah. Whoops.
Okay. So you wanted to be a pilot. Okay, because I wanted to tell everybody. I mean, you've been through a lot of aviation in your life. How many years have you been a pilot?
I have been a pilot half my life. I just turned 40, so I actually started flying when I was 19. It was
And you always
dream.
Just wanted
yes.
to? You just wanted
yes.
to. Like, why? Was there somebody in your family, or why did you want to fly?
No. I was the weird little kid that laid in the grass and watched the planes go over. That was me when I was six. And then when I was 8 years old, I flew as an unaccompanied minor. So I flew by myself on a Delta flight to Orlando. My grandparents lived there. And back then, they would let you up in the flight deck so you could see everything. And that was it. I knew then. I'm like, I have to do this. So,
Nicole, okay, did you say you were six and you flew by yourself at 6 years old, right?
I was eight.
I mean, most kids don't want to do that until about like 12. You know, I mean, I have my brother, but I know is like something to be put on a plane without your parents at that young age. That in itself is something. And then, okay, so did they let you stay up in the cockpit the whole flight, or was it just to go up and take a picture and look and give you the little wings? Remember they gave you the little wings?
Yes. it was just a few minutes, but that's all it took. I knew then. I was like, I had no backup plan, which looking back is kind of crazy, but I literally had no backup plan at all. That was it. I'm stubborn.
I mean, for most people, they would go up into that cockpit and it would just like look just like so confusing, especially to a young child. It's like a lot. I mean, my dad, I told you, was a pilot for 45 years. And from even the small planes, the seaplanes up all the way to the corporate jets, they're all very technical. So did anything ever challenge you learning how to fly, or did it just come to you naturally? Was it just easy to learn? I've heard some horror stories.
No, it definitely wasn't easy to learn. If anything, I'm really hard on myself, so I overthink things. So I think I made it harder than I had to. Probably part of being a woman, I think.
Exactly.
As far as actually, I just wanted to do it. I think my biggest problem was I'm very impatient, and my goal was to do this for a living. And it took time. I mean, it took a lot of time. Like, there for a while, I was bartending, and I would bartend 8 hours, and that would buy me an hour of flight time. So
right,
you're talking
so
about very expensive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
very
I would
expensive,
ask that.
You have to keep
I
up
mean,
a certain amount of hours.
Do you have your own plane?
No. No, if I did, nobody would ever see me. I would never. My horses might see me occasionally. So I worked for a couple different companies out of Birmingham. I'm not going to say who because some of the individuals they're pretty private. But I will tell you this: I have been blessed with some really awesome individuals at Fly Four. I mean, they're amazing, and I mean, they're so awesome that they've let my daughters go fly with me a couple times. My husband flew with me a couple times.
Amazing.
So that right there, I mean, that is a tremendous blessing.
Oh, yeah.
I know I'm
okay, are you a captain? I mean, I know you're doing corporate jet now. Do they still do the co-pilot and the captain ranking? I mean, I'm looking at your centerfold right now, and you've got 4 bars, and it's red, white, and blue with an American flag. Hey, maybe I was a flight attendant on your airline, but probably 10, 15 years before you became a pilot. So probably not, but I was a flight attendant for American Eagle, and that is a cool centerfold, I'm telling you. Oh, Johnny, have you seen her centerfold?
Not yet.
Okay, she is entering an aircraft. Okay, the door is out, and she's walking in up the steps into the airplane with a little cropped white captain shirt with a tie. I'm explaining it to you.
I lost you guys for a minute.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, how ironic that someone who has such a technical job, technology is not our friend right now.
Oh,
what part did you
I know, but I'm telling everybody about your centerfold, and it's just so wonderful when you could be a theme, when you have a theme, okay? It's memorable, okay? All you have to say is, hey, I'm the pilot right there. I mean, it's memorable. It's not just some girl in a bedroom, you know, with a leopard print lamp shade, okay, and red sheets. It's like, you know, that's like forgettable. It is a theme, and I felt lucky that I had a theme too, the soda fountain jerk theme, and you have this pilot theme. Okay, say if a person you're working with finds this out, that you are a Playboy Playmate, what is their reaction? Do they treat you any differently, or have they not found out?
You know what's funny? So when I got hired at the airline, I had this really guy was so stupid. He comes up to me and he's like, hey, I heard a Playboy Playmate got hired here. And he's looking right at me. And I was like, really, dude, why don't you just ask me? You know, I'm like, it's obvious. You're reading my name tag, you know. So that was annoying because he was just being stupid. That is the only time I've had somebody be, and he wasn't rude, but I was just like, grow a pair and just ask me if it's me, you know.
Right.
Don't
be all making you tell him, and so he can salivate more and dream about it later. You know what I mean? Gross.
That was annoying. That was stupid. But I had a few people approach me, just kind of bring it up. And I'm like, that's me. And they're like, oh, that's cool. It's always the same thing. They're always like, oh, is that like, is the grotto a real place? Like, You know,
yeah.
Nobody's ever been weird or rude or inappropriate. Or, as a matter of fact, the guys that have brought it up to me, other than that stupid airline guy, they have always been like, "Hey, do you mind if I ask you?" Like, they're real almost careful. And I'm like, "Dude, yeah, it's cool. I'll, you know, what do you want to know?"
yeah.
But it's funny because there's a couple very respectful, yes. And I love that. Like, I'm totally happy to talk about it. I never bring it up because a big thing for me is I want people to get to know me first. And then,
yeah. Well,
you know,
I mean, that would be weird to go around and say, "Hey, by the way, yeah, I work here, and we're doing this flight, we're doing this many these legs together today. And by the way, I miss May 2004. You know, I mean,
right. You should give me a Google.
And plus,
right.
Oh my gosh, I mean, you changed your hair too. I mean, that makes you.
Yeah,
really,
I did.
You do have the same face. But your hair is blonde there, and now you're a brunette. So it does give a different look.
Let me ask you this question, Nicole. What would you do if you were on an airplane and you told one of the that you asked one of the you know, you went to a passenger and he said, "Do you want anything to eat?" But he's reading your issue.
Oh, I would laugh because it wouldn't bother me at all. I mean, it's not a big deal.
Hey, you're really comfortable with it, and that is great. You know, I mean, you got approached. You had never seen a Playboy once. Okay, so
never. Then
did you? Let's go back. Let's rewind. Okay, so you would have to go and research, obviously. So you must have said to the guy, "Hey, I need to look at this first." So when you went and looked, what did you think? Immediately. I mean, it must have been around 2004 what you were looking at. So you're probably looking at some of our friends that we know. Like, we interviewed somebody from New York, Colleen Shannon. Yeah, you're like, "Oh my gosh, yeah, I want to do this." Is that your initial reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was very tastefully done and beautiful. And honestly, I saw it as a stepping stone for me. Because I was from a small town and I hadn't really been anywhere. So it seemed like a good opportunity for me to travel and meet some interesting people. Of course, make some money, which would help me out. So, but I thought about it for a while. I mean, I didn't just quickly jump on it. I made some phone calls, talked to family members. As a matter of fact, at that time, I was living with my grandparents. Because I was starting flight school in Orlando, and they were the first ones I talked to see how they felt about it.
Sometimes they're better. Sometimes the grandparents are more mature about the Playboy thing than the parents. I found that to be so.
Yeah, my grandparents were very supportive, but everybody was supportive. And I even went as far as contacting my old high school sweetheart. And was like, "Are you going to be weird about this?" Yeah, I mean, it was a big deal. I wanted to make sure that it didn't make people uncomfortable. I mean, I grew up from a really small town. I was the high school homecoming queen. I mean, I was like, you know, the nice girl. I'm still the nice girl, but, you know, I think that surprised a lot of people.
But I think it kind of went along with, they weren't too surprised if you were the beauty queen, the homecoming queen. They weren't so surprised. Okay, tell us about, did you go to your reunion? Obviously, I mean, I understand. You don't want to upset people if you're going to continue living there in that, even the state. I mean, you don't want to be pushed out, and I understand.
Yeah.
So, like I told Johnny before I go, it's not like we just, like, at the snap, I mean, we just, like, I'm going to do Playboy, and then just, boom, we do it. There is a lot of thought. That goes through, many hours of thought, right?
But I have had, I mean, knock on wood, I have never had anybody be rude to me or anything about it. ever, not one time, not during my experience out in L.A. when I was shooting or, you know, anybody back home. I mean, but I think a lot of it is people that, that's awesome. I mean, I think it's just because it's such respected, I mean, it's a part of history.
Yes. Oh, it really is. And so your grandparents, obviously, they knew who Hugh Hefner was. They probably were the same age as Hugh Hefner, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a pioneer. They probably knew a lot about him.
Yeah.
And he really kept it tasteful. Okay, that is awesome. So did Hef fly you out from your small town to the Playboy Mansion to stay and then shoot the studios? And if so, what studios? Was it, were they still on Sunset, or had they moved to Broadway in Santa Monica, the studios?
Oh, my gosh. I think Sunset, but I can't remember.
Maybe both, because it was a transition. It was a transition, because I'm just trying to, like, think about when, because I remember when they made the move over to Santa Monica, it kind of changed the whole vibe a little bit. It was weird. And I really longed for the one back at the Sunset with this grand staircase curling down. But did they fly you out and you stayed at the mansion in the little cottage, or how did that work? Did you meet Hef right away? Did you go to dinner the first night? Tell us about that.
I spent a lot of time out there, actually. They put me out there multiple times because I don't even remember why now, but we could shoot everything all at once. We had to break it up for some reason, so, which was wonderful for me. It just meant multiple trips.
Oh, yeah, like 8 times.
I came out from Nashville.
Because you have to do your headshots. That's one trip. And then you have to do your centerfold is one full week. Then you have to come back to do all the smaller, they call it small camera. That's a whole nother week. Then you're doing your video. That's a whole nother week. And then you start to work and you start to get, like, you were already known because you said that you did a lot of the special editions. So that whole side of the company knew you already. So they're probably like, oh, wow, she's becoming a playmate now. And let's really book her. So did you feel like you were, like, constantly being booked and shooting a lot? Did you try to shoot for other companies, like swimwear, modeling, or anything?
The only other thing, I mean, I did a few music videos, Playboy experience, and then right before my issue came out, I shot for Southern magazine, and I did, like, a specific video for them.
Hold on. Johnny, can you even hear her? It's going in and out
terribly.
Yeah,
I tell you what. Do you want to do
this? I can't hear that whole thing.
How about she hangs up and then I call her on the and I three-way her in? Do you want me to do that?
I don't know. Only if, Nicole, your answers are so great, but we can't even, like, hear them. Half of them, and they're garbled, and it's just like, oh, I want to hear it. So, I don't know. Do you want to do what Johnny is suggesting to get a better connection? Because I really hardly can hear your answers. It's too bad.
Okay, give me one second.
I can't hear any of that.
Right now, this whole, okay? Give me 1 second.
Johnny, are you there?
Okay, yeah, I'm here. I'm going to try to see if I can get her on again. Give me 1 second here.
This isn't going very well. I don't like interviews that are, like, cut like this. No, nobody's going to listen after this. I mean, this is a long break of not having her. Should we reschedule it when we can hear her? I don't like the way this is going.
Okay, you there? Nicole, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hi,
can you hear her, Barbara?
I can hear her, but let's just start again and see if it's better. It just got garbled. It's garbly.
Okay.
Seems. Okay, because I want to know about the centerfold. Okay, so far along were you into your flight aviation career. Were you still in flight school when they did the centerfold? Was this your dream to be a pilot?
Yeah, I was. I had just started flight school, so I wasn't far. I hadn't gotten my private pilot license yet, so I was still pretty fresh into flight school.
Okay, so have one flight instructor? Did you have? Because I'm interested in the flying too. Because I grew up with my dad as a pilot. I flew with him. Did you fly smaller planes, and were they ever seaplanes or just landing on hard ground?
I would love to have a seaplane endorsement. One day I will do that. So I started out in like the little Cessna 172s, the 152s, the really small, you know, little tiny ones that
like
you start out
people.
In.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or there's
we're very small people.
Where it's like really tiny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so how was your first solo? Because I always want to ask people who do have their pilot's license. Like, okay,
look,
that's scary, right? Okay, a solo.
You won't believe mine.
Tell us about it.
You're not going to believe mine. Okay, so you know when people solo, your instructor cuts your shirt tail and they write like the in number.
I don't know. I mean, my dad never taught me. I never wanted to know how to fly. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. My shirt, and I still have it, has a picture of an alligator on it because I learned to fly in Orlando. So I had to see an airplane out, and an alligator walks out of the taxiway and it's there. What's there? And I was like, hey, I think it was 4-3.
No,
reasons,
the alligator was
now,
in the way.
The alligator was in the way.
It was out a little bit. Oh,
yeah. So
did
I had
that
to,
happen
I
very
had
often?
To wait. No, it never happened to me again. This was just my first solo. I mean, so the alligator finally moved. And I take off. And everything's fine. Everything's so crazy. Well, it gets better. I love the radio. So I tried to come back and land. Couldn't hear me. So they were clearing me to land, but I couldn't communicate with them. So I got a flight signal.
Yeah.
So they were just everything was fine, but I felt like, my God, if I could just do something. I mean, the alligator.
How does it sound,
but
everybody?
Johnny,
does
I can't hear
good?
Her very well still.
Yeah.
I know. All I heard is the alligator, and then I don't know what happened. I knew there was a miscommunication with the ground control, but I didn't hear. This is not very good that we can't hear Nicole very well. Like, it's garbly.
Yeah.
And it's just,
Oh,
I feel bad. Yeah, it's all garbly. I want you to have a good show, Nicole. I want people to be able to hear your answers.
I know, me too. Do you want, I have a question now.
Where are you calling from, like, what, in your home? Or is it at the pilot lounge? Or where are you calling from?
I'm at my house.
Oh, because if she doesn't have a good connection at her house, like, where else could she get a good connection?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a landline
or
anything.
Is she on your line, too, right now?
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear
okay,
you okay.
Okay, that's better. That's better. It's a little echo, too, which, okay, keep talking.
Okay, I'm not going to move from where I am.
But what is this about
perfect.
An alligator?
Yeah, the alligator was on the, how long did you have to wait for the alligator to get out of the way? And you're solo.
Well, it
felt
like forever.
I was just wanting to know, did you actually see an actual alligator? Or
yes.
Or did you dress up as an alligator?
Oh, no. It was an actual alligator. And by the way, I'm terrified of alligators. There's not many things that scare me in this world, but those are definitely one of them. And, yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, they're creepy.
And he was probably only – they're horrible. They're evil.
They used to have one at the Playboy Mansion, remember? Up for Easter, I would actually go pet it. It was creepy. Ooh, They're so slow. Yeah. And but they'll snap at you real fast.
Yeah,
no,
they will.
Running really, oh, they're really weird. They're prehistoric. Weird.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So,
I finally got to take off, and
here.
Everything was fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you went up, but then something else happened. Then that's what we didn't hear.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm trying to get my landing clearance, and the tower could not hear me. So they were clearing me to land, and I would repeat back what they said, but they couldn't hear me. So you talk about feeling alone. That was the most alone I've ever felt
Ooh.
In my life. Yeah, I was like,
okay,
holy
so
crap.
They were really
you know?
Talking to you. They were actually really talking to you, but you couldn't hear them, or you could hear them and they couldn't hear you. Which one was it?
They couldn't hear me. I could hear them say, you're clear to land, but they couldn't hear me repeating it back. So I could tell because they kept saying it. Just a issue, my luck.
Like okay, it wasn't like
just
a button
an issue with the radio,
right, or something.
No, it's just a. I know. No, just a stupid, dumb luck thing, I guess. Because everything was fine. I mean, I got cleared to land. I landed the plane, and I was able to talk to ground, and they could hear me fine. So I don't know what the deal was. But it made for a good story, obviously. But and then when I became a flight instructor, because I did become a flight instructor. I did. Yeah, that's how I built my flight time. I did.
Yes.
Single engine, multi-engine, and instrument.
Wow,
yeah.
And then you really know your stuff, too. If you can teach it, then that's a whole nother level of being good, I bet.
Right.
Now, I have a question.
And also... Oh, go ahead, Johnny.
What physical limits would you say would stop someone from being a pilot? Because, I mean, I have cerebral palsy, and you know, I have a hard time driving. I mean, you know, but then again, you might make the comparison that flying is a little different than driving. I mean, because with flying, you probably hardly ever see another plane, whereas driving, you're around other cars all the time.
Yeah, so you have to pass a medical to become a pilot. Even to become a student pilot, you have to go to a special doctor and pass a medical. And I have to do this every year, so they make sure that I'm still healthy enough to fly. But I know that they do grant waivers for certain things. So I'm not. I mean, there's people out there that have learned how to fly with. You know, missing a hand. I mean, there's some pretty amazing stories out there. So,
I've heard
what about?
Go on.
Oh, I was just wondering about the eyesight. I thought it used to be where you had to have 20/20. I mean, can you have contact lenses or glasses nowadays?
No, you have perfect eyes. No, I've been wearing contacts since I was 15. So
okay.
No, you now
can
the military is. Right. The military is, I'm sure, more strict. I mean, I'm not 100% positive on that, but I always heard that growing up, too, which sort of worried the kid because I knew I didn't have perfect vision. But then when I got out in the real world and learned the fact, I learned that you could fly with glasses or contacts. So, yeah.
Oh,
but
thank God.
I've been wearing contacts since I was 15.
Most people need them.
And flying.
Yeah.
So.
Me too, and most people do. I mean, it's a very, very common thing not to have 20/20. I mean, my at 24, mine, and then I got the surgery, but that was wonderful.
Are you there, Nicole?
I am. I'm here.
Yeah. You there, Barbara?
Yeah. I hear her just fine. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Okay. Let me see if Barbara's here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Because I know she's not saying anything.
I'm hearing
you guys.
You can't hear me. Wonder why.
But
can
she's
hear
here.
Me?
So, and I know she just stopped talking.
You can't hear me?
I wonder, she might have had her phone on mute. It's possible.
Oh, okay.
Let me see here. Okay, Barbara, that I know what's going
I'm
on
here.
Right now. She's trying frantically to get everything fixed so that she can get back on the air.
I'm here.
I wanted to ask
why
you,
can't you hear me?
So when you were in Playboy, you were still in flight school?
I was.
And you're playing with your centerfold that they did something with you standing next to an airplane or something?
Mm-hmm. We used a real airplane. Well, nice. For most of it. And then we used like a mock-up for some of the pictures. But we did. We shot in Santa Monica at the airport.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
I don't know why you
yeah,
guys
Barbara
couldn't hear
is
me.
Apparently having technical problems.
I'm here.
Barbara, are
I'm
you
here.
There?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here. I've been saying I'm here so much. I don't know what's going on.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, Barbara,
I'm here.
Are you there?
I am here, and I've been here for a long time now. Saying
but
I'm
anyway,
here.
I'll let me.
I'm here. What is going on?
Okay.
I've been here.
Boy, there seems to be a lot of technical problems today.
I'm here.
Let's see here. Okay.
I'm here.
Let me see.
I don't know
he
what,
is wondering
okay,
what's going
but...
on. Give me 1 second here.
Okay.
I've been saying I'm here for a long time. Are you guys not hearing me still? Weird. Hello? Johnny, I am here. I don't know why it's not working. Hello, Johnny, I am here. I've been saying it. I'm here. Can you not hear me? This is crazy.
Okay. Yeah, Barbara, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey.
Hey. This is crazy, okay? The whole time when you guys are like, where is she? I'm like, I'm here.
That's how I felt. Hey, that's how I felt flying that airplane. I'm like, I'm here.
Oh, that would have been
same thing.
Bad. Oh, I wanted to tell you about that, though. I wanted to tell you, I just saw in the news last week, somebody's solo flight, that means everybody out there, that means the first time your flight instructor teaches you for a long time, then you go by yourself out for your flight by yourself, okay? Oh, that must be so scary. Okay, I saw the news. This solo person landed halfway in the freeway.
Oh, no.
And
that's not good.
I know, and luckily did not hit any cars because it was, like, full of cars, the freeway. And, like, the wing hit the freeway right in front of a car and then crashed, and he was fine, thank God.
Oh, my gosh. Did they say what happened? I'm hoping
no.
It wasn't pilot error and he had an engine failure or something and had to put it down.
No, I do not know, but they said it was his first solo, and then it was just, like, a very quick news thing onto the next. But I thought, okay, that is like a big nightmare right there. But how many people do you think you've taught who actually went and actually succeeded? And have you taught anybody that couldn't do it?
There was one kid that completely had no interest at all, and his dad just kept forking out the money, and it's not cheap. And I was like, dude, you're wasting your money. Your son does not want to do this. He sits there and practically twiddles his thumbs. So,
how do you stop the plane from going upside down?
We have like a few more hours here, right?
But what I'm trying to say is that would be something that I think you can't really prevent. I mean, it's sort of like, I don't know a whole lot about airplanes, but one thing I need to know is that, you know, you're not a car on the road. So, you know, there's nothing under you. So, you know, I mean, technically speaking, you could make that thing go upside down, which wouldn't be good, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you could, but airplanes are so much safer than, my opinion, Okay, let me put it to you this way. The most dangerous thing about what I do is my drive to the airport in my car.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, honest to God. So I feel safe enough that I put my children in the back of the plane and take them across the country with me. So I don't know if that answered your...
No, that's what my dad always said. He's like, the most dangerous part of your trip will be the drive to the airport. I mean,
yep.
It is, because statistically and everything. So flying, it's so wonderful. I mean, I love a little turbulence. I mean, I feel like, oh, that's kind of fun, because I know what turbulence is. It's, it's like if you're in a boat and you're in a little rough water, I mean, you're going over the terrain, the water, it's going to be bumpy. Same with the wind. I just try to explain that to people, because I was a flight attendant. Oh, my gosh. On the smaller planes, they hold like 34 people. Turboprop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of bumps.
And oh, my gosh, those people would be so frightened. And I had to calm them down. So I would talk to them about it. And it did. It helped them.
Now, I
don't understand why is it bumpy. They don't.
I have a question to the both of you. And this is a question of, what do you both think of the movie Airplane?
Oh, are you kidding? That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, how likely is it that, honestly, that you couldn't find somebody on an airplane who could fly the plane?
Let me tell you. Look, Hollywood drives me crazy. Movies, airplane movies drive me crazy. And my husband can't stand to watch them with me, because the whole time I'm like, oh, my God. That's not, you know. Hey, but speaking of movies, can I ask y'all a question?
Sure.
Okay. So there is one movie that led to me becoming a pilot, and it is one of the best movies ever made, and I want to know if you guys have seen it.
Top Gun.
No, it was not Top Gun, but it was made it came out the same year. It was Iron Eagle.
Oh, I've seen it.
I've never heard of
that. Oh,
my God. I've seen it.
You've got to see it. Barbie, you got to see it. It's got 80s music. It's got the cute guy. It's awesome.
I've seen the movie. It's about a guy who rescues, you know, these kids or empires. They rescue their
dad.
Don't tell me the end, Johnny, please.
Sorry.
Oh, it is so good. Look, I love that movie so much. I named a horse Iron Eagle. I'm not kidding. So
it is. You know what I thought you said is evil. Duh, Eagle. Iron Eagle. What a cool name. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm going to watch that and see what inspired you. And you were very young then.
I was.
Wow. So you wanted to be a pilot.
Yeah, I want to.
Your family was a pilot. Did you marry a pilot?
No. Oh, God, no.
No,
no.
No,
no. He knows nothing about airplanes, which is wonderful.
Okay.
Now, I wanted to make sure, Barbara, you cover everything Playboy-wise. Did you ask everything you needed to ask?
Well, we're not even done.
Go ahead. Okay.
About Playboy. I think that we have somebody here who, like, understood the value of the brand Playboy. And somebody came up and said, hey, you're beautiful, you're pretty, you know, you should do the test shoot for Playboy. I mean, if you were right there at that right time to cross paths with that person, do you think that Playboy would have ever happened? I mean, you weren't even thinking about it. You hadn't even read Playboy. Do you think it would have happened for you?
Probably. I mean, probably not, to be honest with you, because at the time I was working at a dinner show in Florida called Arabian Nights. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I was one of their performers. I was doing that. I was going to college, and I was trying to put myself through flight school, so I was really, really busy.
Arabian Nights, what is that show?
That's a dinner show, and unfortunately it's not there anymore, but at the time it was the largest indoor climate-controlled arena in the world. It was a castle, and it was located in Kissimmee, Florida. And it was a lot like Dixie Stampede. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
Oh my gosh. I'm not up on this stuff anymore. I mean, I'm in Nashville, but I mean, I have not heard of this. And the dinner night, I mean, did you sing?
Oh.
What do you do? What,
no,
what,
Lord,
what
no.
What entertainment did you do?
So it was about a, hour and a half to maybe hour and 45 minute show, and it's a story, but the whole story is told on horseback. So you've got performers and all these different costumes, different types of horses, music, spotlights. It was a dinner attraction. It was awesome.
And you got to ride your horse, which is wonderful to be able to do for an hour and a half and have fun and be all glammed up.
Yes, lots of makeup and costumes. And, yeah, that was honestly the most fun I've ever had in my life. It was really cool.
It doesn't sound like that would be such an easy gig. It sounds like something everybody would want to do. And I think there probably is a lot of horse women around Alabama.
Yeah, it was awesome. I did that for 3 years.
Wow. And probably paid well. And then you went through flight school at the same time. And what else were you doing? You said three things. College, too?
Yes. Yeah, I was very busy. So the fact that I crossed paths with that person is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Because I was super busy. So,
Can you tell us what happened when you first met Hef? At the
Oh my gosh, it was awesome. Let me tell you. So he pulled me aside and took me to his, I guess it was like a study. It was a huge, kind of like a private office library.
Right.
And he had airplane statues in there, which caught my attention. And we sat down and he said, a lot of people don't know this. He said, but I had a pilot's license before I knew how to drive a car. I had no idea. I had no idea he had a love for aviation.
Oh, my gosh. I never knew that, Nicole.
So it was so cool. I can remember sitting there just like it was yesterday. So every time I went out there, he would talk about how flight school was going. And I thought that was so cool because it was such a genuine interest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I don't know, I just kind of felt like it was kind of my thing, and he got it. And a lot of people don't get it. But you get it because you grew up around aviation, and you were a flight attendant, and your dad was a pilot. So you understand you understand what it's like to truly love it and have a passion for it.
Wonderful.
And so did he.
Oh, I never knew that. Isn't that weird that a lot of people, and he even told you, a lot of people don't know this about me. Wonder why he didn't talk about that much.
Well,
isn't that strange?
I think people are so fixated and all they see maybe is one thing when they looked at him.
Right.
But I didn't. At first I did. All I knew was, you know, his empire. I didn't know about the aviation, but it was so funny because immediately I kind of let everything else fade into the background and I talked about flying with him, and that's all we talked about. Anytime I went out there, he would come to me and be like, hey, how's it going? What are you flying now? How many hours?
Did he maintain his license, or did he eventually quit and give it up?
That I have no idea. And I don't know how far he went with it. I don't know if he just had his private and that was it. But he was really excited to tell me that he understood why it was so important to me.
And that's very special. You know why? Because I asked every Playboy Playmate that we interview what the relationship was with Hef and if they ever had a conversation with him, because some don't. Some it's just very acquaintance, you know, and
he's
nice, but you actually had a subject and you actually were having conversations, and that is very rare. It is special.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you know that?
I felt pretty honored, put it that way. I kind of knew that he probably didn't have the same conversation with a lot of females that came through there. So,
well, there wasn't much to talk about. So there was nothing to talk. I mean, they were only like 18, 19. They were right out of high school. And so,
right.
You know, I mean, we're nervous.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I know. I'm the weirdo that shows up. I want to be a pilot.
Wow. He loved entrepreneur women. He did. And and the theme that they actually, and then you came through. So how long after when you were published and there it is, that beautiful airline pilot woman centerfold, how long after that did you really become an airline pilot, should we say, or what did you work for first? The airlines? Wow.
Well, I got, hired as a flight instructor in 2006, and then 2008 I got hired at the airline.
Okay, so then did you talk to Hef about that every step of the way?
No, and that is a regret that I have, is I never went back out there after I was finished shooting and I moved on with my flying. I never went back out there. I was just focused on my career, and I wish I could have had one last time to sit down and be like, hey, guess what I'm flying now, you know?
Yeah.
Look at these pictures. But
he didn't know, huh? And it wasn't like, oh, back then we didn't even do really Facebook. Maybe back then,
right?
I
didn't.
But not much. He wasn't doing it. I know that.
No.
Oh, but you know what? That's okay, because there's a lot.
He knows
of
now.
Like you, yeah. Okay. When I'm bad with years. When did he pass away? It wasn't that long ago. So there was many years that you did have to talk to him and go to the parties and stuff.
Right.
I mean, I know after you got to be a pilot, you didn't go much, but there must have been like a year or so that you went up to the parties.
Yeah, I mean, probably the year after my centerfold came out.
Who did you room with when you were shooting? Did you make a friend with a girl from your year?
Well, Stephanie Heinrich was one of my favorite people that I met out there.
Yeah.
We hung out a lot.
Great.
She's honestly,
so super sweet.
She is. She is awesome.
We've been trying to get her on, Stephanie
Well,
Heinrich.
She was supposed to. Yeah, but she had to work. She's a nurse, I mean, during COVID, and I mean,
yeah,
exhausted. Yeah.
She's super busy. One of my favorite people that I met out there was Julie McCullough. She is like the nicest person on the planet.
Yeah. She's a funny bunny. She's very funny and great personality. We'll get her to eventually. And then there is somebody in your year that, I was shocked. Hiromi Oshima?
Yeah.
Yeah. She came up to me. I was just at the mansion at a premier party years after, you know, I don't know what year this was, but one of the last ones. And she came up to me and she's like, oh, Barbara. You're Barbara Moore. I love your photos. You know, can I have a picture with you? And I was like, oh, that's so cool.
She
like
was very sweet.
Yeah, like the newer girls
very...
like care about the ones before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought that was super cool. And I just realized she's in your year.
Yes. She's awesome. Let me tell you, I honest to God, like everybody I met, everybody during my experience between the other girls or, you know, the people that worked there at the mansion or the people at the studios, everybody was so nice. I literally had no bad experiences whatsoever. And I've been trying on Instagram to kind of reach out and find people because I really want to reconnect just to see how people are doing.
This is great. That is great about the show because I literally, from my year, 1992, I hadn't even spoken to a couple of them for 20 years maybe, 15 or 20. And it was like no time passed. Amber, Johnny, we had Tyler and John on. And
yes.
Oh, gosh, it was just like yesterday. So we do form like a really close bond when we do cross paths as playmate sisters. And it's just like, hey, I didn't get to know you very well at all, but it doesn't matter. You're my playmate sister, you know?
Yeah.
I got your back. You got my back.
Right.
Yeah, you trust me. I, you know, it's like we're going to make it work. And so that's cool. And now we found you, and we know what you're doing now.
Yeah, I just genuinely want to find other people and see how they're doing because I feel like I'm very blessed and I'm living the life that I had always hoped I would, and I like to find other people and see how they're doing. I mean, as cheesy as it sounds.
I have a good way. I don't know if you are my member yet, but Playboy Playmate group page. I got the name Playboy Playmate. Okay, Playboy Playmate, right, Johnny? I mean, I got it. Okay?
We might want to tell her about the – we might want to tell her about the UHEF group.
I have 2,000 members on there, and they all – say, hey, where's this one? Where's that one? And they answer, and people find each other on my Facebook group page. Playboy Playmates, it's called. But we also have Life, Laughter, Happiness Facebook group as well, which we want you to be a part of.
Yeah.
And it all circulates, yeah, and you'll be able to connect with a lot of
them. We're doing something in the future on the channel where, well, actually it's not my channel, it's Barbara's channel. We're going to have a medium channel you after.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you can tell them about.
Oh, my gosh.
Never too late. Not when you got your medium around.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
y'all about made me choke on my wine. I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my gosh. We're going to have, like, I don't know, we could have up to 75 people, right, Johnny? We're going to do it. The Zoom is like a blue.
70, team. Yes.
We could have
oh,
70.
My goodness.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to get 70 playmates. I mean, I know the bunny mother had a hard time getting 60 playmates together. I mean, that was tough. For that 60-year reunion with no budget, they weren't even flying people in for it, you know. So a lot
yeah.
of them. And to find these people who still look good in a bunny suit, okay. I mean, she's like, Barbara, help, help. I'm like, what about this one? What about that one? And there was always like an excuse. Oh, they did something wrong, or, you know, they did porn, or, you know.
Right.
I mean, they're very strict, which is great, you know, because it keeps the level up.
Yeah.
Us. And so I've always liked that. But, okay. So I wanted to know, did they have the bunnies? Yeah, they had the bunnies come back around your time. Did you ever don the iconic bunny suit?
No. I didn't get to. I wanted to so bad, but no, I was not one that got to do that. I don't know why, but yeah.
Probably because you would probably just do it once and then go back to your job. You know, they probably
yeah.
would get somebody that was always going to be there local.
But I could have a cute one with epaulettes on the shoulders and little wings.
Oh, it would have been adorable. I saw a whole group of, like, themed bunny suits all in one the other day on social. Oh, and they had that. They had the pilot.
What?
Yes, they did. And they had, like, a Navy person. And there was about 10 different costumes. But then the one that had that didn't have the ears.
Okay.
I love the ears.
Gotta have the ears and the little tail. But yeah, no, I never got to do that, unfortunately. So.
Okay, do you still sign autographs, though? Do you have a place where people go, like eBay or a website we could tell everyone where we can get your autographs?
I really don't do any of that. I've worked with O'Neill's. Do you know who they are?
Mm-hmm.
So they've sent me things, and then John from was it PPG? PP.
Right.
You should probably know that.
Familiar.
He's a really sweet friend. He has sent me.
Out.
Yes,
so you're putting your image out there through the autograph dealer, which
right.
I think it's still good. I mean, you should get it out there. I mean, you're iconic. That centerfold is special. And now that we know the story behind it, though, as well, how excited Hef was to have you and the conversations about aviation. And I mean, that is actually very special because they didn't do themes. I mean, one, they shot a centerfold on me one day and Hef's like, love the model, hate the pose, do something completely different with her. That's
wow.
Yes.
But don't you love that? Aren't you glad that he cared that much about all of it?
It would have just blended in. It would have been nothing special. Oh, and they've used that image for like the special editions and stuff, like Playmates in Bed. Mm. Leopard print sheets, big deal, and a prom dress. Okay, not exciting. And it covered me all up, and it's like, I didn't need any covering up. And so when they came out with that soda fountain jerk with just the hat and the cuffs, oh, my gosh. Because they're like, we do not want to disappoint Hef. When he says he doesn't like the setting and the pose, but he loves the model, we got to come back the second time and make that man happy.
You better nail it, yeah.
Yes, and they did make the 50s because that was his favorite era.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm finding out another favorite thing in his life was aviation. And you're one of those. So I say you're iconic.
Well, thank you. I've never thought of myself that way.
Yep. And did you go to a party? Tell us.
Summer
night's dream.
I did. I went to a couple of those. I never made it to a Halloween party, unfortunately. It just, the timing never worked out. And I was there for, I went out a lot with them, which was a lot of fun.
Wait, did you go out with the group out when they went?
I did.
Like, half, because for years, yes, he didn't go anywhere. It was like nobody knew what he was like, really, because he was in his pajamas in the mansion. But then he started going out, and so you were one of those that went out.
And one of my best memories of going out with him was I actually ended up hanging out most of the night with Britney Spears and Dan Aykroyd, which is a very strange combo, but I've got pictures. I have pictures of myself with them.
Oh, can you please, share them? We could put them on the Playmate thing, and everybody could get reacquainted with you. I mean, cool. I love Dan Aykroyd.
I do, too. Well, here's the crazy part is we talked for about flight school. I mean, and he was so cool. He was just like, just talking about airplanes, and he was really intrigued by me flying. And the crazy part is, fast forward several months, I get a message on my phone. I was in flight school, a voice message from someone claiming to be Dan Aykroyd. I don't know how he got my phone number, sounded just like him, but wanted to know how school was going. And here's the stupid part. I was so shocked and freaked out that I didn't call him back.
How stupid is that?
Did you ever, are you good friends with him? I've heard he's very into the paranormal.
No, she didn't call him back.
Well, he was a Ghostbuster. Of course he is.
It's like you probably were like, oh my God, what am I going to say? It was like nerve wracking, right?
It was crazy. It was crazy. But I actually played it on my speakerphone at flight school. Just a couple of, just a couple of us. And I was like, oh my God, I was totally shocked. But I recently reached out to him, or I think it was him on Instagram, but who knows? Just to be like, hey, thank you, because he encouraged me, and I wanted him to know that I appreciated it. But I don't know if it was the real Dan Aykroyd or not that responded. Probably not.
Did you help her find the real Dan? He's good at that. Yes, because, right? I mean, he wanted to get in touch with Ellen DeGeneres, and he was able to. So can John,
well,
can you
what I did,
team?
Okay, she's basically, this is what she's telling you, okay? There, I don't know if I got in touch with Ellen DeGeneres, but I wrote a letter to Ellen, and I know Ellen read it. This is how I know. What you do is you make a video on YouTube that's unlisted, and you don't show it to anybody, and you make the video be of you talking to that person. Then you send that video, but you don't show it to anyone, okay? And then the video goes up, you'll know they saw it because you didn't show it to anybody else.
Yeah.
And I was able to, and I said what happened was that I got viewership that went up when I got with Ellen. So that's how I knew. It doesn't necessarily mean that she saw it, but I do know this, though. For example, Dan Aykroyd is, I've heard, on the Autistic Spectrum, as am I.
Oh, yeah.
And, I heard he's very much into the paranormal, as are we on the show. And
Give the message to Dan Aykroyd, please. And I was booked for the Dan Aykroyd cover, by the way. Totally booked. I was, but the Conehead one, I was totally booked. Boom, done. They had not even thought of anybody else. And then the Dan Aykroyd people changed the date because you had to change the schedule around for something. Then Barbara, it's changed. Playmate Promotion said, she can't do it now because she's already booked in Ohio.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, you can't let me out of Ohio signing autographs for some company party to do the cover? No.
Yeah.
No, I will not let you out. These people
sucks.
It was December. It was their Christmas party. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I lost that cover. And then they just gave another one to Pamela Anderson. Like, she needed another one.
Right.
You know?
Damn it, Pam.
Yeah,
and
that would have been mine.
Dang. Oh, that sucks.
Oh, God,
well,
I know. And that happens, though. Like, things happen. Like, I understand, though, when a celebrity calls you up, like, I got a phone call from Prince I got a call from him, and I never got him back. Yes, because I was out, I was in Monaco, I was at French Riviera for Playboy a few times, and then I would go up to Monaco. I was dancing on the dance floor, and there he was. He was wild on the dance floor, and he fell down.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he was a little tipsy, and then he invited me to the table, and, you know, with a big group of people, it was nice. Then he did call me, and I didn't call him back. So why? Why did we not?
I don't know. I have regretted that for so long, but it's so funny because, I mean, it was just maybe a week ago. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to reach out to this Dan Aykroyd that has a little blue check mark and hope that's him and not ask for anything. I just basically was just a big thank you because he was one of the people that I look back on and I think, you know what? He was very encouraging to me.
Wow.
And that's a big deal because you run into so much negativity in this world, not just aviation, but good Lord, everywhere you turn. And I look back on my life and I think, you know, I got here because I had so many people that gave me that little nudge, that encouragement. And it just...
stepping stones. And not that they're blessed, but they are because they touch us. They're inspirational people in our lives. And that's so sweet of you to want to, you know, let him know that.
Yeah.
And it probably will get to him. Please keep trying because... Or I bet on Twitter, because a lot of the actor types are more on Twitter. Are you on Twitter?
I am, but I've only tweeted like maybe 5 times ever.
Yeah, you have to force yourself, right? To do. I mean, I'm doing 9 handles a day, like the life of
Travis
and Barbara Moore. I mean, you know, it's a lot, isn't it? I mean, how many places do we have to check messages these days?
Right.
But tell us what you do, because you have girls. Okay, how old are your girls?
I have an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Okay, I checked out your Instagram. They're into horses. They're up in the cockpit of the airplane.
Yes.
And what a wonderful mother you are.
Thank you. Tell us
how it all started, though. Like, how did you meet this man that...
Well, he came over and built me a fence and... That was all it took. That was the hottest thing I'd ever seen.
Oh, my gosh. He really literally built you a fence? You out the window and watched
him? I did. I watched him. I'm not even kidding. But what's bad is it took me 8 years to actually connect with him. So I went through some bad relationships, and so did he. And then long story short, I ran into his dad one day, and his dad was like, you know, my son's tried to call you a few times. And I'm like, well, okay. I was man-hating because I had just come out of a bad relationship. And I'm such a smart ass, I finally called him back. And believe it or not, we got married 3 months later, and we've been married for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. But he's awesome. He's awesome.
I love hearing that. I got chills, Johnny boy.
He's,
I got chills all over my legs, and they say that means the angels are around.
Yeah, that I believe that for sure. But no, he's awesome. He's into horses and very good man. Very.
I love
him. Yeah,
he came over to
make
you a fence and build you a fence.
He did. Mm-hmm.
How young were you? Because it sounds like something like it was a long time ago.
It was. I was early 20s. I mean, it would have been 2005. It was actually, I had just got hired at the airline. So,
wow.
In fact, yeah. Yeah, it's funny how life does that because I had a crush on him for a long time.
Well, that's probably why you didn't call, like, move on it because sometimes when we want something so badly, we don't do anything because we're worried we're going to mess it up. Like the one chance, we're going to mess that up. And but it seems like, you know, the timing was right. And sometimes you got to wait for things that are worth waiting for.
It was. It was perfect timing. The first time he asked me out on a date, he tried to get me to go out on Valentine's Day, and I shot him down because I thought that would be, like, the worst idea ever. So.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, no, you can't have a...
I have never had a Valentine on look. Unless I was married, I've only been married once, and I just never have a Valentine, Nicole. And I'm thinking,
aww.
If I was asked out to dinner, I would go. I would go. Hey, hello, everybody. There's a lot of nice restaurants in Huntington Beach.
Yeah, I was a brat. I was like, no, I'm not going to go out on Valentine's Day. So our first date was 2 days later. He took me trail riding. We drank beer and rode horses, and I knew then. I'm like, well, he's the one for me.
Did you have your own horse at that time?
I did. I've had horses forever, but I rode his horse that day.
Ooh. Are they quarter horses?
They are. We mostly have quarter horses, but we do have one Tennessee Walker that my 11-year-old shows. That's her baby.
That's gorgeous. Do they wear the tux with the tall hat for that?
She does. She wears a suit, and she likes to get dressed up. So the rest of us run barrels. We just like to go fast, but Ella likes to get prettied up and wear the fancy clothes.
Well, that's why you have those gorgeous, beautiful toned up thighs that I noticed in your centerfold. I'm not kidding. I mean, once you build that up, and you need that when you're riding a horse, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yes, you do.
Wow.
It is.
And barrel racing. Barrel racing is this two competitors, and you have to go how many times around these barrels the fastest time?
So,
Tell us a little bit about that.
So you're actually racing yourself, really. So there's three barrels, and you have to go around the pattern the fastest and not knock one down. And it sounds so simple when I say it, but there's actually so much more to it than.
No, I can imagine.
But it's a lot of fun. So my husband does it. My youngest daughter does it. And so do I.
Do you still do this? Do you still competitively?
Oh, I just did it 2 weeks ago. I didn't win, and Jake beat me, but I made him walk home. So.
Is this your husband?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this is something cool that you have together that kind of keeps that spark flying. You're competing, really, against each other sometimes. Wow, that's a cool dynamic. Sometimes that doesn't work for couples, but it's working for you.
Well, he tells people all the time when he wins, he really loses because – he goes to bed by himself.
And he has to walk home.
That's right.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. Cool. Oh, and then who's your other daughter? So you have Emma. That's a pretty name.
Ella is my 11-year-old, and then Shelby. Mm-hmm. And then Shelby is my 8-year-old.
Okay. Ella and Shelby. Beautiful names. Okay.
Thank you.
Wow. So you kind of just made your life happen. I mean, you mapped out your life just in your own mind as a little child, just by, I think you're a visual person, because when you saw the cockpit, okay, I want to be a pilot, you would see things, and you wanted it, and you made everything you saw happen. The guy building the fence, he's your husband. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I'm going to be a pilot, and not only that, but I'm going to have a centerfold as a pilot, too. I mean, wow. Like, the stars were really aligned for you, pretty much so far.
I've been blessed. I definitely have.
Wow. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have two. I have two younger brothers, Kyle and Conley. They are 9 years and 11 years younger.
Wow. Are they half?
They are, yes, they are my half brothers, but they are whole brothers. I mean, I never look at them like anything less.
You don't call them that.
But
I mean, that's kind of young, that's a lot younger than you, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I taught them to drive. I mean, I remember when they learned to walk.
Okay,
but
so
it's kind
close.
Of.
Did
oh,
they
very.
Grow up the
oh,
same
God,
home?
Yeah.
In
yes.
The same
we're very, very close. And it's awesome because I remember everything they learned to do. I remember them being babies. But when they hit a certain age, we also became really good friends. So.
Yeah. Okay. Was there an issue with those boys? I mean, by the time you did your centerfold. Okay.
No.
So you were like 19. Well, they were pretty young still. I mean,
they were young.
10 and 11. I mean, so
yeah.
What did they think about it? I mean, you know, they probably talked nothing about it.
Yeah, they didn't know until they were older. We
okay.
kind of kept it from them until like, they knew that I modeled, and that's really all they knew.
Okay, so you were doing a lot of other modeling then before, like, around town?
Not really. It's just kind of what I called it when I was doing this.
You told me you were doing some modeling. Okay.
Yeah, we spoke in code at my house, so
okay.
with my family.
Hey.
Yeah.
You guys are sly.
What's funny is that there was this lady that I used to babysit for, and she danced at the Cheetah, was the name of the place. And apparently they had some, they knew that their mother worked at the Cheetah, but they didn't quite understand what their mother
what it
did.
Was.
And
right.
She didn't quite understand what their mother did, and apparently they got this in their mind that I was talking to the daughter, and she goes, "Yes, my mom's a cheetah girl. She runs really fast."
That's awesome.
And then I said to Tanya, I think that the kids think you're a marathon runner.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But when my brothers were old enough to know, I mean, I told them I wanted to be the one to tell them, and they were totally cool. I mean, they were just like, wow, you know, they thought it was awesome.
They want to wear it. I mean, the brothers that play the
right.
Bunny, that's cool. Like, they may not have looked at it, the magazine, but brand.
Yeah.
My daughter thinks it's cool. Like, she's going to be 14 soon. To have a Playboy anything, oh, mom, can I have this Playboy, you know, sparkly little bunny T-shirt? I'm like, you really will wear that? I mean, you really, you're not ashamed of that? She's like, oh, God, the Playboy brand is totally cool, mom.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I mean, so
mine do not know yet. I'm waiting on a little more age, and then I will have that conversation.
Yeah, because Hef is past, and if he was alive, you would take them probably up to the mansion, and they would see, okay, this isn't just some sex thing or, you know, nude, that's it. They would see, wow, there's families up here, there's a petting zoo, there's a hairy alligator, you know, there was a lot of family stuff going on, but that's over now, so I get it.
Right.
So I did bring my
daughter.
She was like 4, 5, 6. Because there's the Easter, you know, the Easter egg hunt.
Yes.
He made it really nice for the kids, and it's so sad. It is sad for the playmates that came along. You got a good dose of Hef.
I did.
I don't remember, when did he die? I mean, it was only like 4 years ago or something, right?
Yeah, so I think it's 4 years ago.
So you had a long run with him alive, but some people, they didn't, and they never got to know him. I mean,
it would be a totally different experience. I don't know that I would even do it.
I know
that sounds crazy, but it would not be the same. Honestly, I feel like the best part, I mean, beyond the money and everything, the best part is looking back at the memories. I know it sounds so cheesy, but it's true.
No, I agree. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it is a very big point. I thought about that too. Like, it's not the same. Half chose the playmate, period. I mean, Johnny even asked me that on my little interview for this. I said, oh my gosh, why would he leave the most fun part out for somebody else to do? Of course he did. The playmates were his thing, okay? They were very important to him. Of course he chose them. I mean, did you know that he would put a zero or an X, or like a circle meant, yes, an X, after a full week of shooting a centerfold, staying at the Playboy Mansion, having carte blanche treatment, 24-hour butler service, whatever you wanted to eat.
Right.
24 hours, okay? To, oh, sorry, you didn't make it. Can you
imagine? That would be awful. I mean, that would I wouldn't wish that feeling on anybody. Maybe a few people, but not. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, but they would never even probably. Well, Johnny hears about them. Johnny's like, oh, this girl, she was a girl that got turned down from Playboy. I'm like, oh, is that supposed to be a thing now?
Yeah, that's.
No, it's not. Okay, that you tried out and didn't get it. Nobody wants people to know that. You know, if I didn't make it, I never would have gone to do any other nudity. It's not like, okay, now you go to Penthouse. No, that's a whole different entity. Those people are already the exotic dancers. Okay, Hef, you could not be an exotic dancer and be chosen. That was a prerequisite in your time too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a different I don't want to say level, but it's good that he was so particular, absolutely, because it kept it classy and tasteful. So
it really did. Okay, so when you were the actual centerfold, the age, were you 18 or 19?
19.
Wow, that's really young. Because you have to be 18. I've heard that they even shoot you sometimes when you're 17. So but when it comes out you're 18, that's pretty young. And how? Because if you weren't really doing a lot of modeling beforehand, this is nudity. This is nudity.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a big deal. I'm not saying, okay, we've been through it. You did think about it a lot. You did a lot of research and talked to people, which made you feel good. But what about that day where you had to, it was time, disrobe. Was it a memorable thing? Were you nervous? Did you care? Did they offer you alcohol? They did me. I said no, and I don't want anybody else drinking on this set the whole time. None. I want to be raw. I want to be there. I want everybody else to be there. You know, creativity. To me, the best creative people they can, not drunk, you know. So I'm shocked that a lot of them did drink throughout their whole centerfold. I mean, did you need to do that to loosen up?
No, I was fine. I was just comfortable. Everybody made me feel comfortable, so it wasn't a big deal.
Do you still look kind of like, I mean, I think you do look the same, except for the hair color.
My husband just walked in. Y'all can ask him. No.
Yeah, let's ask him. Is
it Jake? Yeah. Jake. Hold on. Come here.
Okay. I mean,
I was going there for a second.
Hi.
This is Barbara Moore.
Hello.
Hi.
His face is red.
Oh, you guys are lucky. And you're lucky because she talks about you very highly. And, you know, I mean, you built that fence outside her window. You planted a root.
He doesn't realize he has bragging rights now. He can tell people he talked to Barbara Moore.
Oh, well, I mean, he has a playmate wife. He doesn't need to. So what do your buddies think about you having a playmate wife?
Well, that's just something we don't really talk about much, I guess. I guess they're kind of, you know, it's kind of one of those respectful type things, I guess.
They don't really talk about it, huh?
No.
And not only that, but she's like an airline pilot. I mean, wow. Like Superwoman. I don't even know how to
talk about
that. Oh,
God, no.
Now, I get a lot of talk about that stuff.
You don't need to hear it from me, too.
His friends are afraid I'm going to be flying their plane one day, so they're really nice to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That is true. Because you will get somebody in there that you might know. Oh, when I was a flight attendant, I got a star. He was in that full metal jacket.
This is my rifle. This is my gun. I've seen that.
Yeah, that David, the redhead, David Keith.
Oh, my
gosh. Why? Because I flew from Nashville to Birmingham, Alabama, to Paducah, Kentucky, and all those little, you know, little places. It was the smaller plane. And
yeah.
I was only 18 years old, and you had to be like 20 to fly for the major, but I didn't care. I wanted my own plane. 34 passengers, totally hot plane. By the way, they let me, when we didn't have any passengers on the way back, the pilots knew how much I love flying. So the main pilot, he said, okay, co-pilot, get in the back. Barbara's going to take your seat. Oh, they could have lost their jobs. Oh, man, that Embraer 120.
I was going to tell you something.
We were going over.
This is something. Hello, you there? This is something I saw.
No, you're gone. Yeah, you wasn't done telling my story, so I kept telling it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, can I say it now or?
Well, I mean, if you know anything about aviation, you know that's a big deal. That a pilot lets the flight attendant sit and land when the co-pilot's supposed to be doing it. Hello.
Well, actually, another thing I was going to tell you is I saw a cartoon, you know, with all the stuff about the COVID. Apparently, the plane sitting, and then they hear the pilot say over the loudspeaker, "All right, everybody, I'm working from home today."
Oh, God.
You do corporate jet now, okay, right? So then is that why your schedule is not like you don't, I mean, you bid, why is it changing up so much? I mean, my dad did that too at the end.
I'm kind of like a glorified limo driver.
I know, but it's kind of buggy when the people who are hiring this private jet, right? They get you over there, and then they don't let you know when, like, they're going to stay another day, but they don't let you know. And you're staying in the pilot's lounge, like, tick-tock, wonder, are they going to call? I mean, and you can't have a glass of wine because you don't know. If, you know, 8 hours prior, you've got to be totally clean. So
right.
Does that kind of bother you sometimes?
No, and I'll tell you why, because last year the coronavirus really crushed my job pretty bad. I hardly flew at all. So right now I'm just thankful to be flying. I mean, I went from flying 2 or 3 days a week to maybe once every couple months last year, like it was bad.
Wow.
So it really reminded me of how blessed I am to have that job.
Right.
So I'm kind of playing catch up.
And just going along with this happy countenance of, you know, gratefulness, and
yes,
it's only going to bring you more good fortune. That's how it works. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I was afraid I would like schedule this interview and then have to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I'm on a trip. I didn't want to have to.
Oh, you know. That's okay. That's fine. You know, things happen. That would have been fine. Don't ever worry. I think I want to even do it again because, I mean, there is a huge couple of parts in the show which never happens because we sent you a couple of our shows, and but we couldn't hear you, and then you guys couldn't hear me, and it was.
We could always make it a two-part, Barbara. That's an idea.
Yes, I mean, can we bring you back and talk about another subject that you're passionate about? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we're running out of time now.
Yeah.
We have 90 minutes only, and I don't want it to cut you off, but like the barrel racing, the horses, and I would love to talk to you about the horses, and I got to do that too, and just people from that kind of rural country. Like, I was living in Nashville because I was based there as a flight attendant from Seattle, Washington. I mean, I knew nobody in the South. I wasn't even used to the South at all, but then I got into the horses so much, you know? And it was wonderful. I mean, I played polo. And I want to talk.
Oh my gosh, I would love to play polo.
Oh my gosh. You would be perfect for polo because you have no fear if you're barrel racing like that full bore.
Nicole and Barbara, would you be okay if I edited the description of the show to be a part one?
No. I just want it purely how we always do it, okay? When we bring back the playmate for the other topic we want to focus on, then we make the new title. But thanks, because I hate that part one, part two stuff. I don't like that. But no, thank you.
That's fine.
Okay, so everybody, I want to let you know what just happened. you witnessed something special, okay? You know, we hadn't heard from Nicole Whitehead for a while because she was living her dream, okay? A corporate jet pilot. Airline pilot, corporate jet pilot, horse barrel racing competitor, still currently, mother of two, superwoman wife, and probably a gardener as well. I mean, probably grow your own herbs.
Oh my God, I love the garden.
You do?
Yes. No way. Oh, wow. You'll see it on my Instagram here in a couple months. Oh, I'm crazy about gardening.
Oh, and they're going to pop up and they're going to be, that's the best way to do it. The way they put all those pesticides on everything, you guys,
yeah.
It is. You should if you can. Grow your own.
Something magical about putting a seed in the ground and watching it grow. It is therapeutic, honestly. I love it.
Oh, yeah. No, oh, yeah. Well, there was a breakdown once when I accidentally bumped off my daughter's tomatoes that were just blooming on the windowsill, and they were down on the carpet, like all the soil and the tomato. Oh, my God. I've never heard such wailing that I heard that day. Oh, man, you get connected to these vegetables and fruit.
I mean, that's right.
You really do. Well, that's totally cool and weird that I even said that. Okay, so let's do that. I want to have a little lesson on how to do maybe a little herb planting. I don't get a lot of sunlight, though, in my back.
Uh-huh. Well, you got to make some sunlight. That makes the plants happy.
I'm going to move then. Because we were just saying, this is too dark, and it was just temporary. And I want you to know, if you ever come down to Huntington Beach, I want you to visit me, okay?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And Johnny's in Florida. I've never even met Johnny face-to-face. We've worked together for almost 2 years now, Johnny.
Yes, we're trying to fix that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Photo shoot together for our show, and then COVID happened. So he was really strict. I've been flying. I've flown a lot. I've gone to Vegas. I mean, I've gone to Washington State a few times to see my mom. I got to go. I mean, I went to Mexico to feed the, you know, impoverished village. I mean, somebody's got to still do things, you know, and that is me.
Yes, I completely agree.
And what about the immunization? Are you at the top of the list because you're an essential worker?
I'm not getting vaccinated. I don't get the flu shot, but I'm a country girl. I play in the dirt. So.
I really did hear that in her voice. Like, I could kind of tell that she wasn't going to do it.
Yeah.
Really? And you know what? That is a kind of your region.
Mm-hmm.
People, they're not so into it, but I mean, check it out. Like, if you live like a city life like me, where you see a lot of people on a daily basis, like tons of them, okay? Tons.
Yeah.
Crossing your path. What would you do then? Still the same?
Probably the same, just because, like I said, I don't even get the, I've never had the flu shot. I need to knock on wood because I've never had the flu either that I know of, but feel like I'm pretty healthy.
Wait, what about the vaccinations for the children? Do you get the waiver and don't do it?
No, they do get the vaccines, like the normal vaccines.
Right. But you're just not into like putting something in there into your body.
I'm not. I mean, not something that hasn't been tested a whole lot. And I've run across several people that I'm close to that got the vaccine and had no problems, but I also know several people that had some pretty bad side effects.
Ooh.
All right. So it's just kind of one of those things.
We touch upon that. And Nicole, I wanted to invite you to listen to our Friday show because it's an every Friday at the same time. And we have a psychic on, Dale Shear. She's one of the 100 top psychics in the country. And we give out free readings. And I host with Johnny, and she's our guest psychic. And people call in. So if you have a question, a lot of playmates have been calling in after we do their interview. We offer it and they call in. Like Colleen Shannon from your year, she's calling in 2 times. She just gave birth.
Really?
She's doing very well. Yeah, I've interviewed her and she's called in for the psychic lady a few times. So if you're into it, we have it and that's all. And Johnny will take your call. He has your phone number so he'll see that it's you. Let us know, okay, I've got a question for a psychic, and we invite you to do that on Friday.
Well, that's interesting. I've never done anything like that.
I either died before I started hosting this show ever. Right, Johnny?
Yeah.
Johnny asked if he could, like, he'll, like, cleanse my chakras in an Instagram message, and I'm like, hey, you want to offer to heal me? How sweet is that? Sure, I'll take you up on it. And then 3 shows later, as a guest, they asked me to be the co-host. So that's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what it is there are some people that get bit by the bug, so to speak. I mean, they you know, it's like occasionally we'll have people on who, and it's like they'll say, oh, can I come back to our R? Can I come back to our R? You know, before you know it, I mean, it's like, okay, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're 6 minutes over the time. I want to, and I told Nicole, it's an hour show. We give enough time for an hour and a half, and that's how long it's been. So thank you so much, Nicole. And hey, if you want Nicole's autograph, you know, go look it up. It's probably on eBay. I know John O'Neill very well. He's probably got some readily available.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gorgeous, okay? She's the one who is the pilot. And, oh, I wanted to ask you, you know how they have all those little statistics. Are you the only pilot centerfold?
Oh, I have no idea. That is
that
a question for Google.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
I have no idea.
They have all these things, like the first one. I mean, remember Donna Perry was, like, telling us, and I was the first to show pubic hair for the Chinese issue. The first one. And, you know, I got a cover over there. I know. It's so funny. And they do.
Well, I think we might be text other playmates. Then ask them, how many playmates do you know have pilot's licenses? And then if any of them say Nicole Whitehead, you know, like.
No. Okay, Johnny, why don't we just Google? Well, let's try to Google.
Okay.
What did we do before Google?
I mean, living in the dinosaur ages, that's what we did. I mean, people ask, how did you become a Playboy Playmate, Barbara? And I said, I looked them up in the yellow pages. I did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
This is another one. Pilots fired for letting Playboy Playmate fly plane.
What?
Oh, Johnny.
I Googled it.
Oh, hey. Probably happened, but you know what? This guy, his name I will not reveal, he found me. This is what I love about LinkedIn. It's a very professional place to connect with professionals. He found me there, literally, Nicole and Johnny, I'd say 28 years later, he found me, my pilot, who was the guy who let me land. And also, yes. Mm-hmm. And when my car broke down on the side of the road, my luck car convertible I bought for $300 from a church person, he came out, and it's hot. It is hot as heck in the South in the summertime. And he came out, and he was sweating bullets. He couldn't fix it. That's that kind of guy. And he and his wife became my friends. And wonderful. I mean, I was just a kid. I was 18, 19 years old. You know, my car's breaking down. The guy felt bad for me. He found me all these years later and said, wow, Barbara, you really made it. Cool. We're connected. So LinkedIn, and I am so much like you, Nicole, about how I want to connect with just not just playmates, but other people like that in my life. I mean, I'm 18 years old, and this person finds me. This is like 30 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. That was cool, right?
That is cool. Mm-hmm. The power of social media.
And what about your high school reunion, too? I bet, you know, that was impressive. Did they bring your copy to?
No. It was so not impressive. Look, my graduating class was like 45 people.
Really? That small, huh?
Well, it was tiny.
Yeah. It was that small.
I'm not kidding. It was tiny. Yeah. So I think half of them showed up for the reunion. And then even less showed up. Oh, yeah. Good people. But just a small town. I grew up in a really small town in Alabama.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to let you go and get to your, dinner maybe. No. What time zone are you? It's only almost 7 o'clock for me. It's later for you guys.
Yeah, it's almost 9 here.
Okay, well, have a wonderful night with your husband. And thanks for saying hi, Jake, and not being shy. And we say hello to Ella and Shelby. And we adore you guys. We're following you on Instagram. And do that too, everybody. Follow Nicole Whitehead. And what is your handle on Instagram? Can you just tell everybody where to find you if you want? If you don't, you don't have to.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's Nicole Whitehead. Let me think about what it is. Nicole Whitehead _ official. I think that's it.
Okay. You just type in the first couple and then you pop up. I know that, and I followed you. So you got some cool pictures there.
But warn them, they're not going to see anything exciting other than horses and airplanes. So.
Well, too bad. That's okay, because you're the girl next door, and that's just how it is. And it is exciting. You've got a lot, and you do a lot of little cute videos, too, in the cockpit, and I enjoy it. I really enjoy it a lot. So thank you so much for your time. And Johnny, do you have a question for her that you've been wanting to ask, or did you ask all of them?
Oh, what is the funniest moment you've experienced as being a playmate? Or in the mansion.
Oh, gosh. Okay, that one totally caught me off guard. I have to think.
Probably that Dan Aykroyd conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly can't think of anything that jumps out that was funny. I've just had really good experiences.
And in the library with Hef, that's a beautiful room, all the leather-bound issues, 3-in-1 leather-bound. Oh, I spent so much time in that leather chaise chair looking through all of those beautiful. It was sad that they couldn't keep the Marilyn Monroe 1953 first Playboy issue there, because even the friends, even the people who would come, it would always be taken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fortunately. Anyway, that was a great interview. We loved hearing about your success in life with your career, as well as family and children, and just the fun that you're having with the horses and the barrel racing. That's totally cool with your husband. So thanks for coming on, Nicole Whitehead, Miss May 2004, gorgeous airline pilot, corporate jet pilot, barrel racer, horsewoman, and superwoman, I have determined. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, guys. Y'all are awesome. I appreciate it.
Will you sign something for us if we send it to you?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you, Johnny, for producing the show. And thank you, listeners. And we hope you have a wonderful night.
Good night, everyone.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe. Bye, Nicole.
Bye.
Thank you. Barbara.
Bye, Johnny.